Emerge Community Church podcast. We pray that the Lord would use this resource to speak to your heart and that it would bring you defiant hope and joy in whatever season you're in. We hope you enjoy and are encouraged by this message.
Yeah, I just, sometimes when God's moving, it can be, thanks, Tim. It can be like, okay, God, let's just, I want to go where you're going. And it's just like, let's just pause for a second. And let's get his heart. I just felt like God was in my heart, like reminding me that he's a lion. And I remember Narnia. There's like the two pictures I see of the lion. One is the big old fluffy lion with the big mane that you come give him a hug, you know, and you can kind of just be rough with him when we hug him. That's like one picture. But then the other one is, the lions are pretty fierce. They're pretty fierce. And I just see his ferocity on your behalf in my heart. And I'm so thankful that he is ferocious over me, that he loves with ferocity. I'm so thankful that he's not just sitting back on his laurels waiting for me to figure my life out. Thank you, Lord, for being ferocious and being persistent and consistent in my life. And in all of our lives, God, we need it. We need it. We get tired, but you don't. You're the God who never sleeps. You're awake when we're sleeping, fighting on our behalf. We don't even know what you're doing, but you're doing it. Yeah. Can we do this? You have a loved one in your heart. You have a loved one that you've been praying for. I want us all together to collectively lift up the ones that we love. And let's take on the attitude of the lion just for a moment here. And let's pray with ferocious love for them in this moment. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I ask you to join in with me as you lift up that loved one that you've been praying and thinking about. God, we lift them up to you. Your love for them is so great and powerful and strong. You haven't given up on them. You will be persistent over them. And God, we ask you for their soul. We ask you for their heart. We ask you for their bodies. We ask you for every part of them, God, that you would just right now, in a tangible way that we don't even understand how it works, God, but that you would be present with them, that you'd be waking them up in the morning with a sense of your sovereign power over them. Oh, Lord, that the lion would come after them to save them from the evil one. Jesus, we just pray, wrestle over them, God, over those things that have inhibited their hearts, those places of deep suffering where they've kept away from you. God, I just pray release and freedom for them to bring that to you finally, suddenly, that breaking point, God. I pray for the breaking point in their life, that they would come to you broken, open for your input, open for your love, and that they would see your goodness here on earth. Jesus, I just pray that they would see your goodness here on earth and in the life to come. We ask for their souls in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. As strongly as you feel towards your loved ones, he feels stronger. You might think you love them, and you probably do, but we haven't known a love like his. That love's greater. Thank God it's greater. He cares. Let's go ahead and dismiss kids here, if we don't mind. Kids, go ahead and walk on out for us. Pastor Keith is going to be back there. We have a really fun, special time for you. And, yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. It's so fun. I love reminding the kids to walk. It's one of my favorite things because it reminds me how often God has to remind me of stuff. My natural disposition is to run toward anxiety. You know? It's like life happens, the circumstance happens, and I'm just like, all right, time to book it. Let's get anxious. And God goes, well, Jack, maybe that's not what you should be doing. One second here, guys. I'm pulling up my notes. Yeah. God doesn't want you to... Well, I'll say this. You know, we're in this... In this season, I would say. I was going to call it a series. It's not really a series as much as it's like we're defining the season that we're in as a church. We are redefining it, understanding it maybe, as God has pushed us and moved us into a new place. And there is this, I think it's human, there's this human temptation in my heart to just smother you with all of it all at once. And because we've got all these things that we're planning on doing, and I think God is so good, he sometimes finds a way to lead us, and he leads us through people and through circumstances, and if we're open to what he has to say, we can hear him. And I just felt like God was like, okay, it's okay for us to take a minute to understand even what's come out so far. So we're going to take this service to understand what God's doing right now. And just take a breath on it and go, okay, God. We're going to be talking about identity. Our identity as a church, God's shifting it, God's moving it, it's good. I'm going to talk about that a little bit, but primarily I just felt like in my heart he had something that he wants to confirm that you're valuable, that the way he made you matters, that your identity individually matters. You know, God is not okay with you being something you're not. He's not. He's not okay with it. Scripture talks about the perfect law of liberty, and it explains that the perfect law of liberty is like a mirror that you look into. Law of liberty meaning like his grace, right? As opposed to the law of sin and death. It's the law of liberty. It's you look into grace and you see the freedom of God. You're free from sin, free from your captivity. And as you walk with Jesus and you stare into that mirror of grace, you begin to see who you actually are. And it lets you drop the mask of who you used to be and the mask of what people want you to be. It lets you let go of all of the things that used to hold you back and now suddenly hang on to that one thing. What does he think of me? What does he think of you? Your identity matters. As you see Jesus, as you see his grace and mercy, you more clearly know yourself. And as you more clearly know yourself, you're transformed into that same image of Christ. It's a mystery, but it's beautiful. Jesus wants us, we have to understand this. You know, we're singing these songs, I've said this before, when we praise him, we see him for who he is, and that reminds us of who we are. This is going to be something that is ongoing in our lives. And, you know, it's no fun being something that you're not. It's miserable being something that you're not. You know it internally. Anytime you have to cover up who God made you to be, you know that's a miserable experience. There's something in our souls that just connects. We go, yeah, that I don't want to be like that. And I've been on this really, I'd say, wonderful adventure with God where he's been kind of just unveiling to me who I am as I'm seeing him, as I'm seeing him love me. One of the ways, I think, is by just like opening our eyes to the way things have always been since he created us at birth. When I was a kid, I had this thing, I don't know if you guys can connect with this at all. This is a me thing. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. I could very easily just lock in and focus for hours on like one thing. And I was pretty intelligent even as a kid, but so anytime I got interested in something, I could just like zoom and be focused on it. Like nothing could move me from it. I would like block out voices on the outside. Some people would be talking to me, I wouldn't even hear them, right? Just zoom, I'm in. And so that was kind of a cool thing. And as I've gotten older, I've realized that's a cool way that God, I think, has gifted me. But there's another end to that. And the other end of that is if I'm not interested in something, it's very hard for me to listen at all. Some of you might know this. It has a name. It's called ADHD. Right? It's the hyper-focus and then the inability to focus. And what's weird about it is I haven't officially gotten diagnosed. I don't know if I ever will. I don't know what the benefit would be. But as I've learned some of these things about myself, I go, oh, yeah, that's probably what it is. And even as a kid, I would ask God, God, why did you make me this way? Because you can imagine that there is some benefit to being able to just focus and lock in. There is. But on the other end of that, when you're in school and you're having to learn stuff that you don't care at all about, and the teacher starts sounding like Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. It's like, there's things that you have to listen to that you don't care about. And going into the working world, this has had a big impact on me as well. I look at all like the job openings. It's like, we're looking for a detail-oriented person. And I'm like, oh, that's not me. I mean, in my areas of focus it is, but generally speaking, not super detail-oriented. But anyway, so I go into like these work meetings. And these are things that like I need to be able to like digest the information so that I can do a job. But I go in and these meetings are just so boring. It's so terribly boring. Like my soul, like inside is just, the whole time. And I'm like, no, Jack, you have to focus. So, but this is part of the way he's made me. And so I would ask God the question, God, why did you make me that way? Why did you make me that? You know, the last letter of ADHD is it's disorder. I think it's a bit of a misnomer because it's like, probably around 20% of the population, maybe more than that, has it. So it's like, is that a disorder if God makes one out of five people? I don't know. I don't really know that that's the case. It's tied to genetics and stuff too. So it's like, I don't really know. But what he's been showing me though is like, Jack, giftings are usually two-sided coins. They usually are. It's like a gifting comes with strength and also weakness. And we need each other. It's almost like he builds it in. You're going to have a gifting in a certain area, but then you're going to have a weakness probably too, so that you can be in community with this body of people called a church who can support you and lift you up and help you in the areas where you're weak. This is one of the ways God's strength comes to us. It's not just singular, right? And so one of the great blessings and gifts is something that you guys experience here, which is that when I give messages, they're typically not boring because I can't handle if it's boring. If it's boring, I'm like, get me off stage. This is terrible, guys. You know, like it's got to at least have some interest or vigor or life to it, at least to some extent. And so you experience that blessing. And then I experience the blessing of you guys supporting me in my areas of weakness, which is probably organization, scheduling, getting back to people when they text me. You've all experienced this probably, at least to some extent. So, but that's part of what God does. And so I wanted to say this, you know, God wants you to know who you are, and he doesn't want you to be miserable being who you are. And part of not being miserable being who you are is being in a community. You need it. So as a community, as God's defining our identity, it's important to see how we fit individually into it. Our new mission is to know and share the vibrant hope of Christ, to know and share the vibrant hope of Christ. You might know and share the vibrant hope of Christ in a different way than somebody else. Someone else might be very big on like, hey, I want to know it and share it verbally. I want to tell people. But you might know and share it practically. I'm going to make someone a meal, right? So the way it works might be very different. So we're going to read some scripture today. And I've got some stuff I really feel like God just wants to share with you. But I got to read the scripture first to tell you about it. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. I'm going to stop here. We're going to go to the next verse. But I felt like one of the things I was praying about, this is new. I've never thought of this before. You know, sometimes we look at, like, giftings, right? Talk about giftings, the way God gifts you. And we can look at, like, spiritual giftings, like words of knowledge, words of wisdom, healing, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, right? The spiritual gifts. And we can say those are spiritual. And then we can look at other giftings, like the way he designed your personality, the way that you're hardwired to operate, either intellectually or emotionally, the way you give to people, the way you receive people, the way you talk to them. We can look at those things and say that those are natural. And I felt like God was like, as I was praying about this, I felt like God just asked me the question, Jack, why do you call those gifts natural. Those things that are personality, or maybe you're good with certain things, like you're good with money or you have a talent or a gifting. To call it, even just look at the word, natural gifting. Gifting? Are we saying that Mother Nature gave you that gifting? Are we saying that your personality or the way that you were designed was only designed by nature and God had no position in that at all? No, I would actually take the opposite stance and say that God handcrafted you in your mother's womb. God knew what he was doing when he created you the way that he created you. He wasn't holding back. He knew what he was doing. And so it's a spiritual gifting. I look at the strengths that I have that people might say, I mean, I even look at the Apostle Paul. Like, he wrote a large portion of the New Testament. The dude didn't become smart just when God encountered him on the road to Damascus. That's not when that gifting was implanted. This guy was intelligent before that, and then suddenly he lays that intelligence down before Jesus, and Jesus operates through it, right? So even the things that we look at and say, well, that's, you know, maybe just a natural gifting, I want to challenge that a bit in you and just say, we should probably look at that as a spiritual gifting. And the way he makes you with weaknesses, that's also a gift from God to be submitted to God so that he can use it, right? So you got to take the whole package and say, it's all from God. What do we do with it? Lay it down. Lay it down. Submit it. Don't ignore it. So, all right, we'll keep going here. 1 Corinthians 12, keep going, verse 19. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now the feet, guys, might have some toenails that maybe need a trim. The head probably looks a little better than the feet because we can cover up the feet, right? But the head can't say to the foot, I have no need of you, because then the body can't walk, or it's going to have a little bit of a harder time without a foot. Understand? So we have to understand that we have need of each other, even though each other definitely is incomplete, is still looking into that law of liberty, still being transformed into that image, not quite there yet. We're in process, but we still have need of each other. And I want to encourage you in something today that we'll get there. We'll get there. Actually, the other thing I was going to say was this, and I felt like this was from God. We can't say to each other, I have no need of you, right? I can't say to you, I have no need of you. You can't say to me, you have no need of me. No, we need each other. That's how God designed us. I also want to say this too, and this is an extrapolation, but I think it's true. We can't say to ourselves, we have no need of us. You can't look at yourself and say, I'm worthless. There's no need for me. That, to me, actually is the bigger challenge. Because often when we say we have no need of us, somehow, some way, when we say we're worthless, we end up sharing that with other people. We know and share our worthlessness sometimes with other people and sometimes project it onto them. You're worthless. You're worthless. No. God has a place for you. He has a design for you. And he doesn't want you hiding who you are. I'll say it again. He doesn't want you hiding who you are. He wants you out there so everyone can see the person he created you to be. Part of the challenge here I've found with being who he's called you to be is that it's very distracting sometimes, the things that get pushed on us. People have expectations of you, don't they? Oh, I know the world has expectations on you. The world has expectations on me. It has since I've been a child, and I've never fit the box quite. I've at least had like a leg outside of it, probably because of the way God made me. And so there's a pressure to be like, get that leg back in the box. It doesn't fit here. But God doesn't want that for your life. He wants you being who he's made you to be. And so I kind of have been going through this season of God defining me and letting him define me. And there's going to be a picture that we put up. I've got this calendar that it's like a whiteboard sort of calendar, glass board, and I write on it. And one of the things I wrote down, it's a note to myself, it's a reminder, I see it every day. You're not going to be able to see it, and there's some like sort of artistic, poetic beauty to that, you're not going to be able to read it, is this is in the background in my life. This is something that I'm not constantly seeing. It's a bit faded back there, but God brings it to my mind every once in a while, and he reminds me of it. And I'll read off what it says. You're not going to be able to read it probably, but I'll read it off. It says, well, and I'll even just say this, not everything I'm listing here is a bad thing. I'm going to say I am not something. And that's not to say that that's a bad thing, it's just to say that I'm not it. First one, I'm not a manager. Pastoring, right? Leading, helping. I'm not a manager, though. That's not what God's called me to do. Management and leading are all often synonymous, right? Because we experience that in our corporate worlds and everywhere else. But the truth is, that's not probably where God's gifted me best to manage. Not great at managing people. I'm okay at it. But that's probably not my gifting. And sometimes I do manage as a leader because it's required of a leader, but that's not really my strongest suit. I'm not a manager. This next one probably has more of a negative connotation. I'm not a placator. I'm not here to make you guys happy. I'm not here to do that. Oh, and there's such a pressure on me to do that. To placate. Everybody wants the leaders in their life to make them happy, but that's not who I am. Now, a good leader will do that, right? Will eventually get you there. Even God, I just think of God. Well, he disciplines us in his love for us. And that's not always a feel-good thing. But he's not interested in your short-term happiness in this moment, as though you don't have a larger life, as though you don't have an eternity ahead of you. No, he's got a calling and a purpose that's bigger than just today. So you might go through something where he's teaching you something that you don't want to learn, but you need to learn it. He's going to do that in your life, and we should celebrate that. Like, God is sort of transforming my heart to celebrate that. If I'm in something I don't want to be, and I'm going, God, why am I in this? I don't like this. He's like transforming my heart, be like, Jack, why don't you celebrate the goodness that you see in this moment right now, where I'm developing in you and training you. Every moment of your life, celebrate that. So I'm not a placator. I'm not a performer. That's the next one. It's something, and I'm sure that people on the worship team can get this too. It's like when you get up in front of people, there's a temptation to perform. Play monkey play, right? There's a temptation to put on a show, make it exciting or entertaining. And sometimes, again, as a leader, there might be an element, I might jump around on a trampoline up here or something, right? There might be an element of something that's kind of entertaining and fun. And I might do that as a leader because I want to lead you someplace, but that's not who I am. I'm not a performer. I'm not here to put on a show. And the last one that I'm not is I'm not an answer man. I don't have all the answers. We expect leaders to be that way. Kids expect that of their parents. They expect parents, at least at a young age, maybe when they get older they don't, but at a young age, kids expect their parents to know everything. I'm not an answer man. I might have some answers. I know a guy. I know an answer man, but I'm not him. Right? Well, and this is where it's really important to know who you are. Because there's a lot of leaders who've taken on this calling to be the answer man. And it's like, well, yeah, people have questions and you want to help them, but you're not God. It's like John the Baptist. I'm not the Messiah, right? I mean, you got to know who you are, though, to play your part. There's so many ways in which you can be something else and it can dilute who you actually are. And at the bottom there, it says, I'm not a manager, a placator, a performer, an answer man. I'm a leader. That's where God's gifted me to be. That's where he's gifted me to be. And if I take that on, and as I work my way through life, it's almost like running through, I don't know, there's like these drills in football I remember when I was younger where like you'd have the ball and you're carrying it and they'd be like popping you with pads as you're running through, right? Like getting you off balance to get you used to the contact, right? It's like life's sort of that way. You run through life and you go through and you walk through and you're just getting hit with stuff right and left, But God has a way through it for you. If we can stay on our feet and keep trusting him and holding on, that you're going to get through it. And so, if even with our identity, it's that way. Everyone's trying to move you off who he called you to be, but if you can keep your eyes fixed on him, you'll be who he's called you to be. And I just had this last point on the matter before we get into something else. People's expectations of you are not the same as God's. We should never think that people's expectations of us will be the same as God's. People's expectations of you. Oh, and they'll shift and change too in the seasons of your life. People expect different things of you. We fall into a lot of traps because we're more willing to see people than we are God. Yeah. So I said this last week, and we're going to eventually, I'll throw it out there to you. I wanted to talk a little bit about this identity thing before I sent you out the personality and giftings test. It's called the SHAPE test. I'll be sending it out in Discord. But I wanted to address some of this first, because it's like this. You're going to take this test, because I'm just interested, and I want everyone to kind of chime in and take the test so we can see, not precisely or exactly your call in life from God, but to give you a hint in a direction. Some people just don't know at all, and you might even be surprised by some of the results. So I want to send out this giftings test. It's called SHAPE, and I want you to take it, and you're going to, at the end of it, you'll fill in your email addresses, send you a little report. It's free, and also I'll give you my email address. I'd love to see it too, because I want to help you land in your gifted area where God's called you to be. But as I was like praying through this and thinking about it, it's like, the test itself is not God, right? The test itself is meant to maybe start a conversation between you and God. Oh, God, I'm seeing that I'm sort of geared this way. What do you want to say about that? Because there might be times in your life where God actually calls you to a weak area and says, do that, just for a season. But to acknowledge it as a weakness is probably a good thing too, and say, God, this is a weak area of me, so I'm going to depend even more fully on you for it, right? It's not always about finding our strength, okay? But it does tend to be the case, typically, that people's strengths are giftings God gives them and he wants them to use those. That does typically tend to be the case. And I throw in that caveat about weakness here, because like I've seen this be a thing. Like I was thinking about this, Jana loves when I call her out, but there's one thing for me to get up and preach. But if Jana got a word from God, and you guys know Jana. Jana's pretty, she doesn't really talk a whole lot in public here, right? But if she got a word and came up and was like, I've got a word, and we handed Jana the microphone, would you guys be listening? I would think so, because she doesn't say very much. And she would hate getting up here to do this. So if she's getting up to do it, she really feels like it's God. Right? So I don't want to eliminate the possibility of God working through your weakness, because that could be like one of the coolest things God does in your life is work through your weakness. So like we gotta be careful with that, but we're gonna take that test, and I just wanted to send some groundwork on it before I send it out. So that's part of this. Let's do one more set of verses here. John 17. Verse 20. This is Jesus. He's praying over the disciples. And he says in verse 20, I do not ask for these only, meaning the disciples who were with him, but also for all those who believe in me through their word. Now, is that you? Yeah. He's praying for you specifically right now. Did you believe in Jesus through the word that came through the apostles? Yes, in Scripture, right? So he's praying over you. And this is his prayer for you. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That's a crazy prayer. The unity between the Father and the Son. How perfect was that unity? Lockstep. Jesus didn't do anything that the Father didn't do. And he's praying over you that you would be just as unified with your brothers and sisters in Christ as he is with the Father. That's a crazy prayer. Here's why it's crazy. Did Jesus ever talk bad about the Father? Did the Father ever talk bad about Jesus? Well, it's easy because they're perfect, right? They're God. In some ways, this is even harder because we're not God. But notice, how can we be unified just like they are if we're choosing disunity in other ways? The better approach is, because listen, we're all imperfect people. I'm imperfect, you're imperfect. There's always something that we could, in our spouses too, mind you. There's always something that you could call out. In your kids, there's something you could call out there that's not right. But I want to encourage you, I think the path to unity is actually prayer. I have found that to be the case, at least for me. If I ever am frustrated with somebody, no matter who it is in my life, if I'm frustrated with them, the answer is almost always prayer. I shouldn't say almost always. It's always prayer. God just might have me do something after I pray. But the answer is always prayer. And so I want to encourage you as a church that in this new season, part of our identity will be that we pray for each other instead of talking about each other. Can we get on board with that, guys? Everybody on board? I think that is the better way. Because we're not just acknowledging that people have imperfections and flaws. They absolutely do. We're just acknowledging that talking about them isn't going to fix it. You know what I mean? It doesn't fix it. Have you found that, well, I don't know. I'll leave it there. You get the point. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Well, that's interesting. How does the world believe that Jesus was sent by the Father? It's through our unity. It's through the unity and the bond of love that we have. That's how the world comes to see and know that Jesus came from the Father. That is crazy. We had a bonfire last night. It was awesome. I really felt like God, you know, it's so funny. It's like God doesn't just operate here in church. I felt like God was like there at our bonfire. I felt like he was in the midst of us. I felt like a sense of community and family and unity there that was so profoundly beautiful. And I also felt like this sense of like, I was talking to Tiffany about this. Thank you, Tiffany, for putting on the bonfire. It was awesome. Really good. Yeah. Really great. Appreciate your heart, Tiffany. We were just talking a little bit about it, and it was like, hope you're okay with me sharing this. I think you are. Like, it's like we've all kind of gone through stuff, maybe even seasons of storms, and we've gone through it together. We've maybe fought a little bit along the way, but we've come through together, and it was almost like the bonfire was like this place of like, we know we've come through it, and now we're on the other side. And so now it's like we've got this really cool, almost like when you're sick and you come back more healthy than before. I don't know. It's like that was the experience. It felt healthy. It felt right. And if you felt that, I'm with you on that. I feel like that's where we are because God's trying to help people believe that Jesus was sent from the Father. And so in order to do that, he's got to bring unity. Yeah, the last verse here, verse 22. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me. He says this again. That they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. It's so, so vitally important that we learn to value the giftings and the person that God made us to be. To know it about yourself and say, yeah, God, you love me even in my weakness, even in my mess. You love me even though I don't fit people's expectations. Even though I'm not exactly what everyone thinks I should be. You love me even in that. And on top of that, I'm going to love my brothers and sisters who are the same. And we're going to learn to love each other in that perfect unity. It's beautiful. I had in my heart, I don't always do this, but I had in my heart to play a little bit. here. I had a song that I felt like God dropped in my heart, and it's, I don't know, should I do it in this or in my other mic? I don't know. We'll take this one off. We'll use this mic. Hey, okay. Is it good? All right. Cool. There's a great temptation to do what you see in other people. And I think God wants us to let go at least a little bit here of what we've seen in other people and take on what he wants to do in us. So this song came to me, and I'll just sing it. Eventually, if you can sing along, you don't have to, but the words, you'll catch on. Forgive me for walking like other people. Forgive me for walking in their ways but not your way. Forgive me for walking like other people, other people. Forgive me for talking like other people. Forgive me for talking in their ways but not your way. Forgive me for talking like other people, other people. Lord, restore my identity. Lord, restore my restore my identity. Forgive me for praying like other people. Forgive me for praying in their ways but not your way. Forgive me for praying like other people. Restore my identity. Oh. Restore my identity. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, restore the deepest parts of me. Lord, restore my identity. Here's how we do it. Take me to a deeper place. Take me to a deeper place. Take me to a deeper place. Just me and you. Take me to a deeper place. Take me to a deeper room. Take me to a deeper place. Just me and you. Yeah, so there was just something there about singing that out. Like, the good things that we do, even the way we pray, the way we love, the way that we, I don't know, treat our neighbor, even when we're trying to. God has called you to be separate to him. That's what holiness is. It's being separate to him. But we're so often enamored with the way other people are separate to him that we don't know how to do it ourselves. And as we move into this new season of God helping us see ourselves, helping us find our identities and our collective identity as a church, we do need to let go maybe of what we've seen other people do successfully in the will of God so that we can find who he's called us to be. Because you have a unique experience. You have a place where God's brought you back from the dead. And where he's brought you back from the dead is not the same place he's brought other people back from the dead. You might have been in a tomb. Somebody else might have been at sea or wherever. You know, it's like we don't often recognize God's holy callings on our life because we see other people so much. And so we got to get to a deeper room with him where it's just us and him. And so, like I said, I'm going to be sending out this little test to fill out. It's not a test. It's like a, I don't know. I'll put it on Discord. You'll see it. I don't want it to be done, though, separate of prayer. Do it with Jesus. It's like, take it with, like, this is not just a personality test where you fill it out and you find out what Hogwarts person you are. Like, you know, this is not a BuzzFeed. This is, we want to do this with Jesus. And we want to do it as a community. Because we're going someplace together. Right. Nobody's getting left behind. We're going someplace together. I love you guys. I love you guys. Let's pray, and then Tim, I'll have Tim come up for announcement. Jesus, thank you so much. You are just with us. You have such a way with us. And I thank you so much for what you're doing in our midst, God. We can sense your presence is with us. We want to be fully in the way that you want us to be in. So God, help us. I ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. We hope you leave here closer to the Lord and encouraged in your faith. If you would like to support our ministry, you can go to themergecc.com and click on the donate button at the bottom of the screen. Thank you and God bless.